Do you play rock and roll music?
Oh, no, sir. I consider it degrading, deteriorating, and degenerating.
The music, if you can call it that, physically assaults anyone dumb enough to listen.
I can't take no more of this radio.
Rock and roll is for morons.
The rock and roll dance party, raw, primitive, out of control. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. till midnight, right here on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook, and this is Tuesday night, so I guess both of those things are going to happen. It's right now, though, 6 o'clock. That means it's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening for the next hour or so, taking an unapologetic look at events of the world and things going on right outside or half a world away or maybe even a different planet. Your phone calls are welcome a little bit later on in the program. Area code 631-632-WUSB. That's 631-632-9872. Country code 1 for those of you calling from abroad. And speaking of you people from abroad, you know, I can't stand it. I can't stand it when people talk to me and they say, boy, Emmanuel, what a winter you guys are having over there. You know, I'm reading about it in the newspapers, seeing it on TV. Wow, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. It's biblical. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? It hasn't touched us at all here in the New York metropolitan region. Everybody's gotten something. The Pacific Northwest has gotten blizzards. Denver, there's snow all the time. Tornadoes in Florida. Okay, not the best thing in the world. I know people don't like tornadoes. I've never seen one, so I don't know. Maybe they're fun. I've heard they're not. All sorts of things happening in the Midwest. 141 inches of snow in Oswego, New York. And people hear New York, and they say, oh, New York, well, that's where Emmanuel lives, so therefore he has 141 inches of snow in his backyard. No, it doesn't work that way. New York is big. It's bigger than a lot of countries. And Oswego, New York might as well be in Mongolia for all we're concerned here. It's that far away. We have not gotten a single speck of snow all year long. From the beginning of winter, we haven't gotten anything. Oh, yeah, maybe a dusting at 5:30 in the morning. If you're lucky, you might have seen it. But that was it. Now, we've had cold. We've had cold the last couple of weeks. That's nice. I appreciate cold. I like the direction it's going in. But there needs to be more. There needs to be more than just cold. Cold gets boring after a while. You need something to come out of the sky. Okay? Whether it's snow, whether it's ice, whether it's freezing rain, sleet, hail. I'm not fussy. Just something. Something stormy. Okay? And tonight I have been promised on good authority that an event is being planned. Not just for my benefit, for everyone's benefit around here. Supposedly, I looked at the sky and it looked like it might happen. Supposedly snow is going to start arriving tonight. coming in on the midnight train. And, well, with our typical luck, the temperature is going to rise just as the snow gets here, and it's going to turn to rain after a couple of weeks of temperatures in the teens. But the good part about that is that it might go down again tomorrow, and that could result in all sorts of icy conditions where things freeze up and telephone poles snap in half and all kinds of fun like that. I just want some excitement around here. It's been so dull and boring. This is the worst winter ever. So when people say it's unbelievable, yeah, it is unbelievable for most people, not for us here in the New York metropolitan region. So please, light a candle for us or something. You know, hopefully we'll get some weather to remember. And the reason I focus so much on weather is because everything else is just so predictable and dull and boring and all the same. So if something different comes out of the sky and sticks to the ground, it sort of makes it all a little bit worthwhile. All right, we weren't on last week. In fact, last week was one of those rare times where I was preempted on both shows, so I got to take time off. And it's kind of frustrating because, boy, did I ever want to talk last week about the events that happened in Boston. We talked a little bit about it on Off the Hook 2 weeks ago because it had just happened on that Wednesday. But, oh my God. Well, we're talking, of course, about the Aqua Teen Hunger Force scandal, I guess is the only way to put it. This is where little advertisements, little displays of one of the characters appeared in various places in various cities, New York City included. And somebody, some charterhead in Boston, decided that this looked suspicious. This cartoon character on a little digital readout. Something that that you might see all the time. If you go to Times Square, it's all over the place. This is a little tiny thing. And somebody said, I don't know what that is. I don't understand that. Therefore, it must be a bomb. And got everybody to believe it as well. And resulting in bridges being closed, people being evacuated, police of all sorts congregating. And the funny thing, the thing that no one has been able to explain satisfactorily to me, is the fact that they went all over the city finding these things, which means somebody had to describe it to the people looking for them. They had to describe the cartoon character. And of all the people they were describing it to, nobody recognized the cartoon character. Now, I have this question. If it had been Bart Simpson on that particular display, what would have happened? Nothing? Well, couldn't that have been a bomb, too? I mean, isn't it much more likely that somebody from another country that doesn't like our country is going to be more familiar with Bart Simpson than with an obscure character from Aqua Teen Hunger Force? So, are they simply paying the price for not being famous enough? Is that what this is all about? Because I gotta ask, it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all how this whole thing spiraled out of control, how people responded to it. The media included, especially the media, saying that people should be sent to prison for long periods of time for a false bomb scare, basically. Except they weren't the ones saying this was a bomb. It was the people in authority saying it was a bomb. Should not they be held accountable for starting mass panic for no reason at all? Now, put yourself in the mind of somebody who does want to blow something up. Okay, there are such people out there. Put yourself in their head for a second. Are you going to put something that lights up and flashes and catches somebody's attention on a structure that you want to blow up? Or, just stick with me here, would you maybe put said bomb in something that doesn't stand out, such as, a box, a metallic plate of some sort, anything else? So, there are a couple of ways to approach it now. Either we stop acting like imbeciles and assuming everything that looks like a TV bomb, in other words, anything with flashing lights and a timer, not that this even had a timer. Are we going to assume that everything like that is necessarily going to blow up? Or maybe we should start panicking about all the things that aren't doing that. Yeah, Go look around you. In your own house, I'll bet you'll find things that you don't know what they are, attached to walls and pipes and things like that. Unbelievable. It really... I don't know... I don't want to blame the citizens of Boston because they didn't do this. It was their elected officials. It was their police force. It was a few people who just overreacted to something, and not enough cool heads prevailed. And I've heard many, many times the comeback, well, if it had been a bomb, you'd be the first person to criticize them for not reacting strongly enough. And that is the most absurd statement. I mean, we do not live in a country with improvised explosive devices. We just don't. This is not a country that is currently... I don't know why, to be honest. You would think after all the nonsense we're doing in other parts of the world that people would be streaming over here blowing things up, but they're not. They're not. And that says something to the character of the rest of the world, I guess. We live in a fairly calm society until bozos like this get a hold of things and make us live in fear and panic. It speaks to something that we were talking about a few weeks ago. Watching television, watching programs like 24, it's fantasy, folks. It's not real. But when people start taking that kind of thing seriously, then you have reactions like what you saw in Boston, where you see something flashing, oh my God, it has to be the terrorists. How many times have the terrorists done this? Yeah, you get a few crazy people that do a few crazy things on occasion. But it's not like what it is on TV or in the movies. And we can't live like that. Otherwise, what is the point? And that press conference that the two guys... I mean, I can't believe two people were actually arrested for this. Two people were arrested for daring to put these little signs up without permission, I guess. And they gave a press conference the next day where they were only taking questions about hairstyles of the 70s. I know that annoyed a lot of people, but when you think about what it was they were actually doing, instead of having a press conference where they said something to the effect of, well, I'm not allowed to talk about that. I can't comment. Instead of doing that, they simply said that they couldn't comment on parts of the case and simply talked about something else and annoyed the hell out of the press. And I just love that. It took a lot of guts. So we'll see what happens to them. We'll see what kind of sacrificial lambs they'll wind up being. And the head of Cartoon Network, I believe, had to resign as well. Why? This makes no sense at all. But another sacrificial lamb. Meanwhile, mayor of Boston, the head of the police, they're still blithely going about their jobs, not being apologetic at all. Turner Broadcasting has agreed to pay $2 million to the city, apparently just to keep a good public image up. The whole thing is so incredibly ridiculous and stupid. And I hate to say it, but I think this is only the beginning. Imagine all the other cities that these devices were in. It didn't raise a fuss at all because people knew that these were not evil things. They were just, I guess, guerrilla marketing is the best way to phrase it, where you put up something weird and see how people react to it. It used to be that things like that were called art. Maybe graffiti will be seen as some kind of chemical attack on the city, and we'll have to do something about that. Oh, boy. Speaking of radio, though, this happened last 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago tomorrow on the Last Off the Hook show, we did a fundraiser, and we kind of surprised ourselves with how well we did because we were offering Hope DVDs and set all kinds of records. I don't want to go into too much detail because it'll be too depressing for the people here. I think we raised enough in 1 hour that... would be about 50% of our fundraiser here. And the flip side of that is that we have to produce all these DVDs. Each DVD set was something like 70 DVDs. Imagine that. And we have to produce something like 50 of these. It's one heck of a sacrifice for people over at 2600 who have to come up with these things. But it's well worth it. Well worth it. No problem. But the issue, what I've been going through over the past couple of weeks, and literally this has been going on for the last couple of weeks. Good thing I had the time off. Getting a hold of DVDs that can be written to and also can be printed upon. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but there are DVDs that have a white surface, and you can print on that white surface if you have a printer, a DVD printer. They're very hard to find in large numbers. Most consumers don't use those. Most consumers use the kind with the silver top. So we very quickly depleted the local stores of these DVDs. And since we have this DVD printing robot, which is going mad trying to print all these things in the next few weeks, and it literally is the next few weeks, maybe even more than that, day and night printing these things, we needed to have a bigger supply. So we started looking online, and we found a suitable supply, what we believe was a suitable supply, but we wanted to test it first. We wanted to test the disc to make sure that there wasn't a high failure rate, that the disc didn't stick together, which sometimes happens. And so we decided, okay, we're going to order a sample pack of, say, 100 of these things and try them out. And we wanted to get them. We wanted to get them last week. So we ordered them two-day air, because for some reason the price for overnight was very expensive, almost the same cost as the DVDs themselves. And so we ordered second-day air, and you ever order something online, and you want it fast, so you pay the extra amount to get it either overnight or in 2 days, and then they don't process the order. They take 3 or 4 days to process the damn order, so you still have to wait a week to get the things, only now you also get to pay the extra fee to have them delivered fast, even though they're not delivered fast. Well, that's sort of what happened here. It actually was worse than that. It took a few days for them to process the order. All right, so we didn't get it in 2 days. And then, once I noticed that the order had finally been processed, I started to track the thing on the FedEx site. And I noticed that it wasn't scheduled for delivery for another few days. Yeah, it was going to be sometime this week. And I was like, how can I say this politely? Why in heaven's name is this happening to something that we wanted two-day air? And that's when I took a closer look at the order form, and I noticed that the it wasn't actually second-day air. No, it wasn't second-day air. It was something called FedEx Ground 2. FedEx Ground 2. What in God's name is FedEx Ground 2? What was FedEx Ground so successful that they had to expand and make a second one? When you see the 2 there, I think subconsciously you just assume two-day air. And yeah, it was our fault, obviously. But, God, I mean, these shipping labels are just kind of ridiculous. FedEx Ground 2. So hopefully this thing will show up someday. We couldn't wait, so we actually started shopping around in different places, and we found one of those wholesale retail outlets. Wait, that's not what they call them. Wholesale retail outlets. No, it can't be. It's those big, like, if I say Price Club, that's the name of a company, right? And it's not Price Club. It's something like Price Club. It's one of those big warehouses where you buy obscene amounts of food for really huge people, and that's why the aisles are so wide. And these were the places where you could get some of these discs, except that the ones out here we had completely sold out of, and they didn't know when they'd have more. But we found a place. We found a place in Westbury, which is in Nassau County, that had like 35 of these things, 35 spools of 100 each. That's 3,500 DVDs. That's practically what we needed for the entire thing. Imagine that, 3,500 DVDs. And so I drove all the way out there. I'm out here in Suffolk County, and Nassau County is the county next to the city. And it's like night and day. It really is. When you go to Nassau County and are looking for something, the way people treat you on the road is just totally different, for one thing. I don't think I'm being paranoid when I say that the drivers there are just a lot less forgiving. You don't get waved in. You know, here, if you need to, you just put your turn signal on when you're going down a road, and somebody's going to stop and wave you through. Someone's going to yield. People are very friendly. I don't know why. I'm suspicious of that, but people are very friendly. But out there, no, you don't get a second chance. All right? If you don't take an opening and make that left turn, no one else is going to let you in. And so I'm on these roads, and these roads have no signs on them. Everybody there knows where they're going, but I don't. I feel like that old man in a car with the hat who's just trying to grasp the concept of two-way traffic. You know, you see these people occasionally, and you feel sorry for them, but you also feel kind of angry. Well, I was getting a lot of people angry because I didn't know where I was going. I just had an address of this place, but, you know, addresses are useless out here because nobody puts their numbers up. Yeah, you know what road it is, but you don't know what 11359, you know, where that is. And if it's inside a big, huge shopping center, you don't know that. And so I had to just basically wander back and forth on these crazy roads, and there's a lot more traffic, a lot more really fast traffic. They have five-way intersections with all kinds of crazy traffic rules. And at one point, I just had to sort of dive off the road into a random mall-looking type place and hope that it was in there, and I was lucky that it was. And I went to the place, and they put the things aside for us, 3,500 DVDs they had put aside for us. And I'm standing there on the checkout line with a grocery cart filled, overfilled, with nothing but blank DVDs. And I got this stare from this guy who was in front of me online. I realized, as he was staring me down, what this must look like. Here's somebody showing up at this discount outlet on a Thursday night, loading up on nearly 4,000 DVDs, 4,000 blank DVDs. What do you think somebody like that must be doing? I must either be a massive movie pirate or big into porn or something. And, you know, I wish I could think of something snappy to say. I wasn't prepared. I've never been in that situation before, but I'm sure, you know, if we really live in the suspicious society that we want to live in, apparently, then I should be reported for this, because we all know terrorist money supports movie piracy and everything else bad, right? So therefore, for me to be in there with that many DVDs, that many blank DVDs, I must be being funded by terrorists. And that purchase should have been flagged. And it's another grievous gap in our nation's security that I was able to walk out of that store and take all those DVDs home. So, that was the fun adventure of the last week or so. And still going on, still making the things, still fulfilling all those pledges. But that's only part of the fun that's been going on in the world. What else has been happening? Let's take a look at what we've been missing. Well, of course, there was the whole Anna Nicole Smith story. My God, if I hear about that one more time. On the way over here, I was listening to the news station. We have several news stations, and they're all owned by the same people. And they actually, this was their exclusive story of the day, they had tape of the 911 call to report that Anna Nicole Smith wasn't breathing on her hotel room floor or something. And I'm wondering, why? How is this even news? Why do people care so much about this kind of thing? That they would listen to a 911 call. So I listened to the 911 call. I wanted to hear what was said. What was so fascinating. And I was blown away by how calm and nonchalant the person calling in was. Basically, the person picks up, 911. Hi there. Very cheerful. Hi. We have a situation where somebody is, and you know, this time where somebody is giving a greeting and giving the preamble to basically something that's supposedly an emergency situation, is time that the ambulance could be on the way. But eventually she gets to the point, someone on the floor not responding, non-responsive. Oh, and by the way, she's Anna Nicole Smith. As if that has anything to do with it. That might make them go faster, or that might make them go slower, or that might just be, hey, you'll never guess. isn't this cool? And I always wonder, when you hear these 911 calls, when someone is reporting something, sometimes they're a little bit more urgent than that. When does the emergency team actually get dispatched? Is it when the phone call is hung up, or as soon as they hear an address, do they punch some kind of button, and right away that's when people start running? Because the way this call is a nice, leisurely phone call, and eventually it ended, and that's, I guess, when everybody started with the rescue attempt, which was fruitless. Quite a story, though. It's been in the news, and it led me to ask a few questions of people around me. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a very tragic thing, and she led, obviously, a troubled life in many ways. But my question was, these people that we always hear about in the media, and I mean people like Anna Nicole Smith, Paris Hilton, Jessica Simpson, what is it exactly that these people have done? You know, I ask that question of a lot of people, and the answers I get, for instance, Anna Nicole Smith, what did Anna Nicole Smith do? What did she do? Well, she married that that really rich guy who was a billionaire, and then he died, and she's fighting for his money. Yeah, you know what? That's not something that you do. I mean, that's not an accomplishment, marrying somebody and suing their estate for money. No, that's not it. Well, she was a Playboy model. Okay, all right, something. But, you know, that's not really, I don't consider that to be that much work. The person taking your picture and making it all work, they're the ones. They're the ones with the talent. You just have the face. You're just sitting there and doing what they tell you to do. You know, what is it actually? And I extended this. What did Paris Hilton do? What did Jessica Simpson do? Well, they were in reality TV shows. Reality TV shows? That's not a skill. That's supposedly based on reality. In other words, the things that we go through every day of our lives. I've yet to get an answer. I've heard all kinds of lame things. Well, they were in some movie, or they sung a really bad song. You know, lots of people I know can do the exact same thing. We just take this this fascination in the glitter and the glam, and either we're riveted by it or we're terrified by it if it turns up in Boston. But, yeah, that's been on the news. That's a big major thing here in this country. And yesterday, this is kind of weird. Looked like Philadelphia was going to have their time in the limelight, where there was a mass killing. That's right, those of you here in other countries listening to us, it's sort of like a tradition. we try to have a mass killing at least once a week here in this country. And yesterday was Philadelphia's turn. A gunman shot and killed three men at a business on Monday night before turning the gun on himself, taking his own life. You know, kind of a traditional murder-suicide type of a thing. But wouldn't you know it, almost as soon as that happened, some other upstart out in Utah decides that he's going to mow down a bunch of people in a mall. All right, so the Philadelphia story has not been in the news nearly as much. It's not the front page story. It's the second story. Front page story being the shooting Monday at a trendy mall in Salt Lake City. Killed five people. Teenage suspect also among the dead. And the craziness just goes on and on. All right, Obama is officially running. Barack Obama is now the candidate of 2008. And right away, backtracking has started. I don't understand this. He is apologizing for saying the lives of the more than 3,000 U.S. troops killed in the Iraq War were wasted. Why would you apologize for saying something like that? I mean, it is a waste of life to be sending people out to get killed for a war that means absolutely nothing and is based on lies. Well, during his first campaign trip this weekend, the Illinois senator told a crowd in Iowa, "We now have spent $400 billion and have seen over 3,000 lives of the bravest young Americans wasted." I still don't see anything there to be offended by. I mean, calling them the bravest young Americans, that's a rather nice thing to do, and basically, He apologized, saying that he meant to criticize the civilian leadership of the war, not those serving in the military. Even as I said it, Obama said, I realized I had misspoken. It is not at all what I intended to say, and I would absolutely apologize if any military families felt that in some ways it had diminished the enormous courage and sacrifice that they'd shown. Well, I don't think it did, because you already said they're the bravest young Americans. And if you're not going to say that their lives were wasted, well, then, you know what? The $300 billion was not wasted either. It's either a waste or it's not, and I happen to think it's a big waste, and I'd be very angry if I was part of the family of any of those people who went over there. And this story, too, which has been circulating quite a bit, the U.S. military on Sunday presented evidence that it says shows an elite Iranian force under the command of Iran's supreme leader is behind bombings that have killed at least 170 U.S. troops in Iraq. Now, I'm going to take this a step further and say something that I don't think has been said. And that's, is this really a surprise? Is this really something that you think wouldn't have happened? Is this really something that you would not expect Iran to do? And I'm not saying Iran did it as an evil empire or anything like that. I'm saying this is a natural reaction. Let's look at it this way. Supposing Canada were invaded by some other country, and it could be any country that you want. Do you think perhaps members of the United States military might find ways to infiltrate and start attacking the people who had invaded that country? You think? Yeah, it might very well happen. Here you have Iran right smack next door to Iraq. You have a foreign country that invaded Iraq. And I think it's a lot more in their interests what goes on next door than it is in our interest what goes on all the way around the world. So I'm not saying it's right for them to be doing this, but it certainly isn't right for us to be doing what we're doing. So I just don't see what all the big commotion is. Yeah, of course they're going to do that. They're denying it, of course. They're lying about that, I'm sure. Probably because they're scared. But it's not a surprise. It shouldn't be. But it might lead to more, as we might have heard if you're listening to Democracy Now! Before this program, Hillary Clinton is basically sounding just like George Bush, saying that all options are still on the table dealing with Iran, that we cannot let them have any kind of nuclear weapons or technology at all. Again, the double standard here is unbelievable. It's okay for certain nations, for certain entities to have access to these things, but not other ones. You can't just label people like this. You can't just say, you're evil, you're not going to be allowed to have this, and expect them to accept that. This is why North Korea pursues a nuclear program. This is why Iran pursues a nuclear program, because they're told that they can. They're told that they're bad. And they're told by a country that invades other countries and does all sorts of other things that the rest of the world does not go along with. Okay, otw@2600.com is our email address here at Off the Wall. And 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Let's read a couple of pieces of email, and then we'll try and visit the telephone and see who's out there. Dear Emmanuel, I just wanted to tell you I saw a smart car in Berkeley tonight. I was crossing the street when it rounded the corner, and I just kind of stood there in the middle of the intersection as it went around. That's one thing they can do. Smart cars are so small they can just maneuver around the people who are frozen solid in awe at seeing the things. If it had stopped, I would have probably gone over to them and asked how they got it, much like you've encountered, like I encounter every single day. Anyway, I just wanted to report my first smart car sighting. That's Roland at the University of California, Berkeley. Thanks, Roland, for letting us know about that. And, yeah, I guess you're going to be seeing more smart cars as they get introduced into this country next year. Maybe there'll be a few test ones sent our way. But it's always fun. Always fun driving the thing in New York City and seeing how people react. Dear Emmanuel, I was recently listening to the show where you posed the question, how do you think parents would react if Scientologists were allowed into school cafeterias? This is a sort of a compliment to having the military allowed in school cafeterias. Well, when I was a foreign exchange student in Germany a few years ago, the school I was attending in Potsdam had Scientology tents set up in the entrances to the schools. This was very controversial at the time, and to my knowledge, laws have recently been passed in Germany banning Scientology and other such cults from soliciting in front of schools in this manner. James, thank you very much for writing in with that kind of scary bit of news. It's not just Scientology. Any religion, any organization should not be allowed to prey on the young in a safe environment, such as a school or even a university. Dear Emmanuel, in the last show, you read an email from a fellow listener, and that listener said that you had changed their opinion of support for the Second Amendment. Now, I'm definitely willing to be convinced that I'm wrong, but if that's all we ask here, you know, is that you be willing to be convinced that you're wrong. I like that attitude. If someone is going to commit a violent crime, are they going to care if they get caught with an illegal weapon? Well, it's a fair question, but, you know, I would counter that by saying, is someone who is law-abiding that much more likely to commit a violent crime if he has easy access to a weapon of that nature, such as the people that go around just opening fire at supposed random intervals around our country because they lose their temper because somebody pisses them off and they just can't hold back and they happen to have a gun, so there you go. Continuing with this letter, I learned from my sociology class in college that it's not the severity of punishment that deters crime, it's the certainty of punishment. So giving someone a larger prison sentence for using an illegal weapon isn't going to deter them from doing the crime. Ah, but supposing you get the person before they do the crime and they have the illegal weapon that they're not supposed to have. If somebody is caught in a situation, they go through a metal detector and the thing goes off, or if they're simply trying to rob a store and they're not shooting anybody, but they have the weapon, that kind of thing enhances the severity of the crime. It's how it works in other countries, and it seems to work rather well. You make having the weapon a big deal, and people will be less inclined to flash it around, I think. Anyway, this reader writes that this leaves us, though, with a bunch of armed criminals and a bunch of unarmed, law-abiding citizens. Yeah, you know, I don't think it's that simple. I just don't think it's that simple. I don't think all the swaggering goons with guns will be out there committing crimes. They might be, but I don't think it's quite that simple. I'm aware of the studies on weapon bias. The presence of a weapon induces more aggressive behavior. Yes, I'm aware that a large percentage of victims of assault by a weapon, knife or gun, were in fact the owner of that weapon. However, the data of these studies are not enough to convince me that having a weapon should be forbidden by law. And again, you know, I'm not saying having a weapon should be forbidden by law. I'm saying that we need to have some kind of control over these things, not have body-piercing bullets and armor-piercing bullets, rather, and all sorts of other massive amounts of weaponry that people have for no reason other than causing massive carnage and chaos and mayhem. Again, I'm willing to be proven wrong. I'm not some right-wing extremist, just my present perspective on the issue. And thank you for writing in. I think you were anonymous. Okay, and Max writes in with this chain letter. Ordinarily, if someone sends us a chain letter, you'd be seeing the off-the-wall goon squad pretty soon after you did so. But this one happened to be kind of cool, so I'm actually going to read part of it. And tell me if it stirs any memories in you. Close your eyes and go back. Before the internet, or the PC, or the Mac. Before semi-automatics and crack. Before PlayStation, Sega, Super Nintendo, even before Atari. Before cell phones, CDs, DVDs, voicemail, and email. Way back. I'm talking about hide and seek at dusk. Yeah, I remember that. I remember hide and seek at dusk. I remember the years before the internet, before all this stuff that we are fixated on these days. I remember that. Red light, green light, red rover, red rover. I don't think I ever played that stupid game. Playing kickball and dodgeball. Until the first. No, the second. No, the third street light comes on. Ring around the rosy. Don't think I ever played that either. London Bridge, hot potato. What's hot potato? I don't know that one. Kick the can. Yeah, you know, we have a few more things to do in my neighborhood than kicking cans. Hopscotch, not my scene. Jump rope, nope. Always would fall down. Tag, yeah, sort of, I guess. Just chasing people in general. Duck, duck, goose. Yeah, that was kind of a fun game, kind of a stupid game. It's basically people sit in a circle and you walk around and you touch one and say duck, touch another one and say duck, and you touch one and say goose, and he's supposed to get up and chase you, and I don't know what he's supposed to do when he catches you, but he's supposed to catch you before you run around the circle and sit in the seat that he just vacated. I always wondered, what would happen if he just didn't get up? Then he couldn't run around and take his seat. But whatever, that's probably why I never played it. Parents stood on the front porch and yelled or whistled for you to come home, or honked the car horn if you were too far away to yell. I remember there were parents in my neighborhood that would do that. They would just whistle. And that whistle was a signal. Their children were like dogs, would hear the whistle, and I'd sometimes be hanging out with them, and instantly they'd turn into different creatures. They'd turn around and just start moving towards the sound of the whistle, and that was it. No more playing for that day. And other people would just shout out names. I never heard the car horn. That's kind of weird. No pagers, no cell phones. Mother, may I? Mother, may I? What's that? That's another game? Oh, I remember a game that where you took a step forward and you asked, may I? You had to ask, may I, or you couldn't take the step forward. And the person who I guess was running the game would say, yes, you may. Or they'd say, no, you may not. And that always struck me, this was like fifth grade, it always struck me as a really stupid game because the person running it can simply dictate who wins by saying, no, you may not, and yes, you may, and the person that you say yes, you may to wins. Maybe I just didn't understand the rules, but it just really seemed dumb. Hula hoops. I had a hula hoop when I was a little kid. That was kind of fun. They're very hard to store. Seeing shapes in the clouds. How many people look in the clouds and see shapes these days? We're too busy with our 500 channels of TV and chat rooms and instant messaging and email, pagers and cell phone. Oh, my God, I'm ranting about all this, but there's so much. There's so much out there that we just fixate on now. We forget what's around us, and we don't know how to operate without all the garbage. Endless summer days and hot summer nights with no AC, with the windows open. You know, when I was growing up, nobody had air conditioning. I mean, there were a couple of people maybe in the neighborhood who did, but most people didn't. Most people just had their windows open or a fan or something like that, and we survived just fine. And this wasn't back in the 20s. This was, not that long ago. We weren't that fixated on these things. The sound of crickets and tree frogs, you can still hear that out here. I don't know if people pay attention. Running through the sprinkler. Or going to the swimming hall. Well, we didn't have a swimming hall out here, but running through the sprinkler definitely was a good way to pass time. Cereal boxes with that great prize in the bottom. Do they not do that anymore? No more cereal boxes with prizes? Well, that's sad. And Cracker Jacks. Yeah, Cracker Jack boxes with prizes in them. They must still have prizes in them. They'd never stop doing that. They'd be riots. Ice pops with two sticks that you could break and share with a friend. I guess they don't have those anymore either, do they? Ice pops with two sticks. Just snap them in half. And, yeah, that was kind of cool. Does anybody remember the coconut Good Humor Pop? I've been trying to find this for years. Apparently they discontinued it. Good Humor makes all these different things. And the coconut bar was one of them. And it was something I really liked as a kid. And apparently they pretend they never had it. You call up Good Humor and ask them about it. They don't know what you're talking about. Memories of the past. But wait, there's more. Watching Saturday morning cartoons, Schoolhouse Rock, watching Sunday morning oldies with Abbott and Costello and the Three Stooges, Wonder Woman and Superman Underoos. I somehow missed those. Catching lightning bugs in the jar, Christmas morning. They must have these things still, right? Tell me it's not all gone. Your first day of school, I know they have that. Bedtime prayers and goodnight kisses, climbing trees, riding your bike, swinging so high, trying to touch the sky, getting an ice cream off the Good Humor truck, a million mosquito bites and sticky fingers, jumping down the steps, jumping on the bed, pillow fights, sleepovers, popcorn made on top of the stove in a pan, A 21-inch black-and-white TV meant you were rich. You know, I grew up on a black-and-white television set. I mean, I didn't grow up on top of the set. I grew up with a black-and-white TV set in my house. And it was only one. It was only one, and it was the kind where you turn the thing on, and it would take about 30 seconds for the picture to show up. And if you turned it off, the picture would disappear, and you'd get this little bright dot in the middle, and that dot would eventually fade away. And you do not turn it on again after you turn it off. You have to wait a certain amount of time. And it was big. It had feet. It was a big set and had feet, and it was black and white, and it only had the 13 channels with a dial that clicked. No UHF. These days, try getting a black and white television set. I don't think it's even possible. I don't think it's even possible. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go down to Circuit City or Best Buy, one of those places, and just waste their time talking about the most expensive type of home video system, HDTV, high definition, widescreen, stereo sound, all that. And at the very end, you say, but I need for that set to be black and white. That's what I need. And see what kind of craziness they go through trying to find out if they make any black and white HDTV sets. Okay, continuing with the memories here. Running till you were out of breath, laughing. I know people don't do that anymore. Just take a look at them. Laughing so hard that your stomach hurt. Being tired from playing. Work meant taking out the garbage or doing the dishes. Hey, you know what? It still does. All right. Your first crush. Your first kiss. I mean the one that you kept your mouth closed and your eyes open. Rainy days at school meant playing heads up, seven up, or hangman, or checkers, or jacks in the classroom. I don't think I've ever played jacks. I don't know how to play jacks. It'd be too embarrassing to ask. Kool-Aid was a drink of the summer. So was a swig from the hose. You gave your friends a ride on your handlebars. You wore your new shoes on the first day of school. Hey, it wasn't my idea. It wasn't my choice. Class field trips with soggy sandwiches. Nearly everyone's mom was at home when the kids got there. A quarter seemed like a fair allowance. Another quarter was a fortune. Any parent could discipline any kid or feed him or use him to carry groceries, and nobody, not even the kid, thought a thing of it. Being sent to the principal's office was nothing compared to the fate that awaited you at home. Basically, we were in fear for our lives, but it wasn't because of drive-by shootings, drugs, gangs, etc. Our parents and grandparents were a much bigger threat. Okay, and some of us are still afraid of them. Didn't that feel good, just to go back and say, yeah, I remember that? Well, let's keep going. Let's go back to the time when decisions were made by going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That's still how I make many decisions. Might be sad, might be pathetic, but it is true. Mistakes were corrected by simply exclaiming, do-over. Race issues meant arguing about who ran the fastest. Money issues were handled by whoever was the banker in Monopoly. Catching fireflies could happily occupy an entire evening. It wasn't odd to have two or three best friends. Being old referred to anyone over 20. The worst thing you could catch from the opposite sex was cooties. Nobody was prettier than Mom. Scrapes and bruises were kissed by Mom or Grandma and made better. It was a big deal to finally be tall enough to ride the big people rides at the amusement park. Getting snow was a dream come true, and in my case, getting snow is an impossible dream, it seems. Abilities were discovered because of a double dog dare. I only got the double dares. I never got a double dog dare. I guess it's a regionalism. Spinning around, getting dizzy, and falling down was cause for giggles. You need to hang out with my crew some more, because we still do that. The worst embarrassment was being picked last for a team. Water balloons were the ultimate weapon. Older siblings were your worst tormentors, but also your fiercest protectors. If you can remember most of these, then you have lived, and it's time for you to stop living. No, I just added that, but thanks, thanks for sending that in. Again, it was a chain letter, but it's one of the fun ones, and thanks to Max for that. All right, let's take some phone calls. 631-632-9872. Maybe some people remember more things. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
How are you? I think I can shed total light on the Anna Nicole love affair and how it seemed. Could I be mentioned in the same breath as what you did at Paris Hilton? Okay, here's the deal. Eric is your name?
Yeah, well, it can be. My name is whatever you wish it to be.
Here we go. came from, this is about class in America. Okay, uh-huh. She came from the other side of the tracks. White trash becomes billionaire. This is the most incredible. Never mind that we always had, you know, like Paris Hilton. That's a socialite. They've always been socialites. That's the term, socialite, right?
All right. My question is, what did she do?
You're right about she didn't do anything. I'm saying, but I'm distinguishing her from the classic socialite who never does anything either.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she's this unique situation that everybody dreams for, to be born with nothing and no education, and then to have more money than you could buy Harvard University. Okay.
Okay, so she has money.
No, she has money. That's the whole story.
Right.
We came from other side of the tracks. Paris Hilton, born rich. All socialites are born rich. Nicole was the one in a million exception who became the richest by far.
Okay, so the difference is that one of them was born rich and one of them became rich by marrying somebody rich.
You tell me, there are no other socialites who became rich by like this.
Well, you said Anna Nicole Smith wasn't.
Of this game of following celebrity.
All right, but you're saying Anna Nicole Smith was not born rich, right? She became rich.
I said to her, I called her white trash. I said that with love, you know what I mean?
Right. But I don't care if she's white trash or not, because there's plenty of trashy people who are rich. You're saying that she was born poor. That's what I'm asking.
Point well made. Plenty of rich people who are trash. Right. Okay. She was born poor with no education,
okay.
And then she had enough money to buy a home.
Okay. But I've learned more about her. All right. I know a little bit more about her. But again, you know, between her and Nicole Simpson and all those others.
Oh, they're all celebrities. For
they haven't really done anything.
Socialites or just she. Nicole maintained the white in the show.
Uh huh.
In one of her shows,
reality shows, yeah.
Revealed to you that she was very, very white trash. Even though she, you know, so she would have this bizarre laugh. Remember that show called Nicole, You're So Outrageous.
I don't know it, but
okay, that was a series. From that show, she revealed herself to be as white trash as she wants to be, and I don't care. I'm proud of it. Okay,
that was
her person. So everyone, the entire culture laughed at her because the big joke was, oh, look at the white trash billionaire.
Okay, sir, we have a bunch of calls, but let me just ask you one quick question. What was her talent in your eyes?
Oh, of course, Eric, we're not into talent. This is not a scientist. This is not a philosopher. This is not literally.
Does she have a talent?
Right. This is not celebrity, that whole thing.
So she had no talent.
Okay, what about the ones who were just socialites? Now we're back to the issue. There's no talent in the socialite world, Eric.
All right, well, there's no talent then. So you're saying she has no talent.
Well, it's not about talent.
I got to let you go. Sorry. It's about talent because I asked about talent. That's why it's about talent. I'm asking what her talent was, why she was in the media so much. And okay, I think we're determining that there really wasn't much talent there. She got rich by basically some trickery. Okay, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Right, I'm calling from Bayshore. Yeah, your previous caller, Jeff, I've been trying to reach him for the longest time. So, Jeff, if you're out there, it's me from Bayshore. I lost your
number.
Hey,
aren't you the guy who's going to send us brain damage tapes?
Yeah,
we know about you.
I can't trick you, Eric.
No, you can't. You certainly can. Everybody seems to be calling from the old days.
They do still sell those Twin Pops that you pull apart.
Oh, they do?
They still sell those. You have to go, to the freezer, you know, the ice cream section, obviously, at the supermarket.
Your grocer's freezer. Okay, I'll do that then. I didn't know they still existed. Well, that's one memory I can relive tonight then.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know about that.
Well, that's good.
I wanted to ask you another question. That broadcast that you had did about the fake nuclear or whatever. Remember on
yeah.
the island, that thing that tape you played?
Shadow of a Long Island.
Still available?
It's not as a premium right now. I mean, if you pledge back then, it was. I know you can listen. You can listen to it.
The next pledge, you think?
It's possible. It's possible.
I definitely want to get that. All right. I just wanted to make sure about that.
Okay. We'll let you know. But listen, you got to send us those brain damages.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I got to sort them. I have like maybe five or six of them.
Uh huh. Well, you can send them to us, and we'll sort them for you. And we'll send them back if you want us to.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to. How would I mail them to you?
Okay, I'll give you an address. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. You, right, you send them to Emmanuel.
Okay.
Care of 2600, 2600. Mm-hmm. And that's P.O. Box 99.
Okay.
And that's in Middle Island.
Okay.
New York, 11953.
Okay.
Anyone out there with tapes of old shows, please send them in because we definitely would like to collect them.
I think 92 to 94.
Uh-huh.
But then you stopped doing it and Matt was taking them. Remember, Matt?
Yeah, and Matt's still here, in fact, and even if there are shows with Matt, we want those as well. We want them all.
I don't think you'd ever do that again, do you?
What, brain damage? No. That part of my life is over. Now it's off the wall time.
I'm just one of the old school that used to call. I mean, I was like a teenager.
Nothing's more pathetic than going back and trying to do something that you did in the past and you did then. And
it was fun back then. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just stupid kids. You know what I mean?
It was a different world. You know, those memories I just read now.
Some of those people that used to call, I still are in touch with some of them.
Uh huh. And it was through the show that you got in touch with them in the first place?
Well, because, you know, there's a lot of them moved out of their houses and stuff, but a lot of us, you know, still live with our families. So some of them, I think one or two people I was able to track down from back then, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people did, you know, went away and moved out, but a lot of them are still around, so.
Well, it was a nice time where people sort of all seemed to know each other and...
It was fun, you know, I mean, people ruined it at the end because Matt didn't want to do it no more because people were calling up cursing and on the air and everything.
No, that's not very righteous.
Don't do it no more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, it got kind of stale after a while and, you move on.
You stopped doing it and then Matt was doing it, so...
Well, I got very busy with all sorts of other things as well. And
Matt would get mad if people called just to come on the show. Can I be in the teleconference? He'd get mad and he would cut you off.
I'd get mad, too. I mean, it's a radio show and people are calling to be on the teleconference.
Yeah, I remember one time you hung up on me because I wanted to go on teleconference. And that
scarred you for life, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, you cut me off. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, now I'll have to kill him. I know. It evokes some very strong emotions in a lot of people. But, you know, the time that we lived in, if you listen to the shows, and you can listen to them all in the brain damage section of the 2600.com website, just the mood of the day was just so much more carefree, it seemed. We weren't so worried all the time and suspicious, and I'd sure like to go back to those days.
No, I know. It was cool back then. As a matter of fact, one of the tapes of the very first teleconference you did.
Uh-huh.
An experiment. I think you had four different teleconferences.
Yeah, yeah. That was back when the phones worked better than they do now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, listen, try to send that to us. I'm going to try to get to one more phone call.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Have a good night.
All right, take care. Good hearing from you. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi.
Speak up, please.
Getting famous is now considered a talent.
I know. That's my point, is that just because you're famous, no one asks why you're famous. You're just famous, and you can live on that somehow.
That's why people go on Survivor, because they think that they can jumpstart something else, make money off of that. I just want to say about Barack Obama's comment, why isn't that considered political correctness?
Why, what isn't? His apology?
You hear that term. It's usually applied to people, liberal people who say something.
Yeah, I think it can apply to just about anybody, to be honest. But I think people are just overly cautious about what they say.
I hear conservatives using that term. It's usually against liberals.
Uh-huh.
There was a thing about that was very critical, I think, at the Smithsonian about the A-bomb. And no one called it political correctness when Congress forced them to not have an exhibit that was just simply critical of using the weapon. They forced them to talk about the Japanese atrocities and to say that Japan started the war. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Sort of a political correctness in reverse.
Right, but no one used that term in reference to them. And I also want to say it's a very hard thing to ask someone to say that their kid died for nothing.
Oh, I know. It's a horrible thing.
Can't ask somebody to say that, but
when, I don't think anybody's asking them to say that, but I think that's something that the rest of us feel and the frustration we feel, and hopefully that frustration can translate itself into keeping more people from meeting the same fate.
Well, there's some people met with Bush, parents of kids who died, and I don't believe those phony tears he shed. I don't care what president it is.
I don't believe it. Listen, sir, we're out of time, unfortunately, but call back next week.
Okay,
bye-bye. Continue this. That's it for us. We're out of time. We'll be back next week at the same time talking about all sorts of other things. Till then, LTW at 2600.com. Good night.
When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.